This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this New Year's Eve edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Looks like we made it. It is the end of 2025. Woohoo!
Well, I can almost guarantee 12 hours from now, I will be ushering my younger children that managed to stay awake till midnight to bed so that I can get to bed. That's my big plans right there.
Is it? Mine is basically I've got box seats in my recliner, got my tickets early, I got my jammies, I got my Malbec. I'm not sure what we're doing for dinner. The mustache may be planning something, maybe some steak, I don't know. But we're celebrating with New York. It's like, good night, New York. We always celebrate with New York. I don't remember the last time I went to a New Year's Eve party. Maybe 2000 in the aughts, I think.
Yeah, the last number of years, we just have friends over. We've got friends that have kids that are our kids' age and this and that. And we, you know, a couple of families get together, celebrate, and by about 12:06, a handful, you know, most are out the door on their way home. This year, some of these friends are feeling under the weather. So we said, no, just we'll be fine.
Do they have that big flu? I keep hearing about this big super flu that's going around. Apparently, it really sucks. Are they really down for the count? They're just taking them out. Yeah.
Spending 24 hours or something, just body aches, laying around, doing nothing. And, you know, hopefully we'll feel better. No, you just stay and give it a few days.
Well, they should tune into wherever. And I don't know where you do, but Times Square, the ball drop this year is kind of cool. There's two ball drops. So there's going to be the first one to ring in 2026. Then they're going to relight the ball, raise it back up again in red, white, and blue. And this is to, it's going to mark the beginning of the year-long commemoration of America's 250th anniversary, a milestone that honors a quarter millennium since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It is the semquincentennial. Say that after a glass of wine.
Say that normal. I'm not even going to try right now.
Semiquincentennial. So this is very cool, though. So there's going to be the two ball drops. I guess it's going to be very patriotic. I am super stoked, and I'm so glad President Trump is our president during this. Can you imagine how miserable it would have been if it was Harris and Tampon Tim?
Well, I mean, imagine what the news would be like if Minnesota was going through what it is right now and Tim was the vice president. And I'm kind of going, you know, maybe this is a sign. You know, it wasn't a random selection of a goobery white guy being picked. I'm kind of going, huh?
And when remember, he was so upset about Elon Musk and Doge. It's like, oh, okay. It's kind of all the pieces are falling into place. I wonder, when is this dude going to resign? I mean, they're just doubling down. They have no shame.
Oh,
zero shame.
Well, no, I'm sitting here just watching some of his press conference stuff. And it's, you know, well, white people commit way more crime.
Shut up. Not you, him.
Yeah.
And now I guess Nick Shirley, you know, God bless him, the 23-year-old YouTuber with David, his boomer partner in crime, who really did kind of all the legwork on that. They're getting death threats. And then I saw that, oh my gosh, the Leering Center had a break-in. Do they think that people are that ridiculously dumb that they don't figure this out for what it is? Guess what was taken, Hunter? Enrollment records.
What? No. Come on. That must have been a very mild break-in then, because I can't imagine that list is very long.
Let me get back up on my turnip truck. Well, I believe that.
Well, and they're also claiming that same location that, you know, they just showed up to videotape it before they opened up. And I'm sitting there going, it's Minnesota in December, snow on the ground, broad daylight. This wasn't 6 a.m. Let's put it that way.
No. And then you had some official in the very corrupt, obviously corrupt Minnesota government claiming that no, that had been closed weeks ago. But then you've also got a bunch of Somali parents bussing everybody in. So, you know, the call went out because there's a lot going on in Washington State, in the Seattle area. A couple of they're journalists. I wouldn't even call them citizen journalists. They're journalists. Kind of were going around and knocking on some doors in a housing complex up in somewhere in Seattle. And I ran into the same thing. And then, of course, these people come out and call the cops on them. And it's just so it's everywhere.
Well,
and you know, it's in Oregon, too.
So I did see a clip yesterday and no confirmation. So allegedly a lot of this money out of Minnesota is actually going to a Washington Democrat who's running for Marion or not Multnomah, not Marion County. It's one of the, you know, maybe King County up there.
Maybe King County commissioner.
Yeah, he's a Somali woman.
Yeah, I saw that.
Weird how all this kind of starts linking together. I don't know about you, but it made me start thinking as I'm going around and seeing some businesses, and these are these small little businesses around town that you never see anyone walking up to.
Right.
It makes, you know, and it just makes you sit there and go, whether it's getting small business loans that, you know, are just literally being funneled away in minimal payments or whatever being paid back, whether it's grants, whether it's what, I'm sitting here going, you know, it makes me, I just sit here and go, it makes me curious about some of these businesses that you see that you never see a person even approaching the door. And if you were to do it yourself, they seem a little shocked that you would even walk onto their property.
Right. It makes you suspicious, certainly. And I think, I see a lot of people going, well, I'm not paying my taxes until I find out, you know, where all this fraud is. I mean, I can guarantee you it's in every state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you. Oh, yeah. Guarantee you.
Whether it's a red or blue state, I can guarantee that there's fraud and manipulation taking place. And you know, I'm not just going to point the finger at Minneapolis or Washington or Oregon even, because I know it's happening. It's the scale and the amount and the unwillingness to actually look into it. It gets so frustrating.
And that, I think, is the key, because I know I've been doing a lot of research just in Western states. I know there's some problems in Idaho and that a lot of people have shined a light on that. The difference, I think, is how those state governments will then handle it when it's finally, and I don't want to say brought to their attention, because a lot of this stuff, you don't, people that, you know, just got here or haven't been here very long, barely speak English, they're not navigating these systems by themselves. There's inside help coming out. I mean, that seems pretty darn clear. So it'll be interesting to see how red state versus blue state governments and municipalities and city governments handle it. Because like I said, you can guarantee, I think that it's popped up in Ohio, which is, I guess it's a red state. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've seen some stuff in Idaho. Obviously, Washington is not a red state. So it's going to be interesting. I think this is going to get a lot bigger. A lot of people are really ticked off. Americans work damn hard for the money, mm-hmm. and to see it, what's happening with it is absolutely infuriating.
Well, and I just sit here and go, and we know, I mean, we've seen examples of how Oregon handles those kinds of things. It's like one resignation and that's the end of it, all done. Goodbye. Yeah. We took care of the problem, you know, and I'm kind of going, but did you take care of the problem? Or did you just find a scapegoat who, you know, you can publicly trounce out there, who's going to disappear from the radar for 6 months or a year, and then kind of just work their way back in slowly but surely.
Right. They get a nice, you know, a nice cleanup, a nice washing, and then they come back all fresh and smelling like, you know, one of those little scent beads that you throw in the dryer, which I think stink.
I mean, what are the ones we've seen in the last few years? There was the alcohol purchasing by one person stepped down out of all of that. Of course, our Secretary of State being paid by marijuana companies, she just stepped down and that one went away. Right. What about the motor voter thing where they said, no, it doesn't happen. Oh, well, we found about 300 cases. And then a couple weeks later, oh, there's about 1,000 of them, and we haven't heard anything since.
Right. And then also, and I've got this, and I don't know if I have it in front of me, but as far as secure, everyone's talking about secure elections. And I, you know, and with elections coming up, everybody in Oregon is rightfully, I mean, we've had mail-in voting since 1987, mm-hmm. and everybody wants more secure. I mean, it shouldn't be a big ask to say, prove you're an American citizen, show some ID, prove you're a resident of the state to vote in elections. But that's a bridge too far for the left. But now they're going to make it convenient, more convenient and easier to do this when we should be doing exactly the opposite.
Well, yeah, I think you're talking about Carrie McQuiston's Common Sense Sanctuary post on Facebook, where as of yesterday, all eligible Oregonians will be able to register to vote through a secure online form by submitting the last four digits of Social Security number and their valid signature. But it's like doing it that way, it's very easy to manipulate those
it
things.
It is. And how do you submit a valid signature online?
Well,
you know, when you do like a DocuSign, mm-hmm. It's like in curly Q font, so it looks like it's a signature. Or you try to sign it with your finger and it's like for the I.
Well,
it's
just... Yeah, this just seems, it's virtually one step away. And of course, the last four digits, that's the easiest thing to manipulate or even guess. Because anytime you're doing anything, you're always asked, what are the last four digits of social? Well, no one thinks about it giving away just the last four digits.
Right.
And I'm kind of going, there's a problem you can always run into is a simple, you know, oh, we're looking up this for you, last four digits. Oh, there it is. Okay, now we're going to create a signature for you online. Oh, now we've registered to vote for you.
Totally kosher. Mm-hmm. Totally kosher. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? And you've already got a lot of Republicans, unfortunately, that are very apathetic. And so, you know, I feel it.
Yeah,
it's like my vote doesn't count. And there's a narrative that gets pushed, which unfortunately is, I think, a false one. You should still vote. But I get it. I mean, people mm-hmm. are fed up. And of course, there's a lot at stake in 2026 with the gubernatorial election. And
he's running for re-election. The timing,
Lord.
The timing of this just seems almost absolutely
Doesn't
ironic.
It?
And I go,
convenient.
This is one step away from online voting. And I feel like in Oregon, it's going to be like these popular polls that you can do on like Facebook and things like that, where it's just like, you know, vote once every day. It's okay. No big deal.
Well, it's like my poll of the day here, which mm-hmm. actually is, I will tie it in before we take a break. The poll today was, do you believe U.S. elections are currently secure from widespread fraud? I snorted coffee out my nose on that one. Yes, 22.4%. No, 77.6. And that's not surprising. It's pretty evenly split, men and women.
Is the 22% all Democrats?
61.7% of Democrats say that they are secure. Only 9.7% of Republicans, and then 22% of independents. So apparently the Democrats think everything's hunky-dory and it's all kosher. No problems here.
Wait, 9% of Republicans? Is this vote secure? I mean, I'd like to know.
9.7, yeah. 90.3 said, nope, they're not secure. Of course, you know what my answer was. That's a big fat no, negatory. Mm-hmm.
Nope. And we can debate all day, you know, about whether or not the fraud is enough to sway elections. But there is definitely fraud with each and every election we have.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if we have, I don't know, I wasn't say it's fraud in 2022, but we had Betsy Johnson in there as a spoiler. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the numbers, had she not been in there, Drazen probably would have won. Just looking at the numbers sort of. But nope. Can't have nice things in Oregon. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on this New Year's Eve on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our friends over at our local Bi-Mart.
They've got their last savings book of 2025 out.
Well, that's coming to an end, you know, very soon, right? 2025. I heard it ends today.
2025 ends today. Wait, it does? Wait,
so that,
what?
So that would also make this Bi-Mart's first savings book of 2026. And I was just looking at a few things on there and I'm going, I need to get over to Bi-Mart because there are some things in there that you're not going to beat the prices of that come in very handy, especially this time of year. As you're doing things like taking down your Christmas decorations.
Oh, so I'm thinking like totes.
I think that
things
might be
to store
so
things.
I didn't want to say it out loud because I didn't want them to be sold out when I got there.
Oh yeah,
but...
yeah. Okay.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Don't say anything. It's like when we talk about ammo. Shh. So yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they have great. You can find really interesting stuff. Bi-Mart is a fun store to shop at. I always like shopping there.
Well, we have one conveniently located right down the street from us here.
Been there many, many times. All right. Our friends over at Oregon Catalyst have a year in Oregon charts and graphs. And the first one we're looking at is Oregon has the fourth highest gas price. Because Washington's higher. Washington, mm-hmm. I never try to never buy gas in Washington.
Yeah, Washington's higher. And of course, California is higher. And I believe Hawaii is higher.
Hawaii is probably the highest, which we know why.
And I can sit here and go, you know, when it comes to Hawaii, I understand.
Yeah.
There is not a...
But Oregon, Washington, and California? No.
Especially when our friends just to the east are significantly less expensive.
About a buck cheaper. I don't know what it is in like Montana, Nevada, you know, Idaho.
I suppose it's probably even a little less expensive in those states simply... Yeah. Because of the way the system works. And then, of course, electrical rates in the state of Oregon are up 50% since 2022. And I saw a Facebook post by Jeff Merkley the other day, literally claiming that the high energy prices in Oregon are all Trump's fault. And I go, wait, every 6 months or 3 months or week or whatever it is, you know, our city council and our local governments are approving these rate hikes from our electric companies. And I'm sitting going, what makes the electricity here in Oregon, especially when we have dams and these beautiful windmills and all of these great farms of solar panels, how is our gas or our electric prices going up so substantially?
Well, it's prettier. It's just prettier electricity. Clearly, it's prettier. It must be. Because everyone, you know, Oregon and Washington, they're beautiful states, but it's like, yeah, if you can't afford to live in them, you don't really care. The next one is Oregon. High taxes and regulation come with a price, the cost of living. Yeah, not as high as California. California is bright burgundy, as is New York State. And New Jersey. No, Massachusetts, actually. I can see Cape Cod right there on the end. But Oregon is right there with them. Right there with it. Yeah. Oregon, Washington, Montana, and Utah. No, yep. Arizona.
Yep, Arizona.
And then in some New England states. Pretty high up there, but that is pretty darn high.
Yep. And then, of course, we've got the economic crossroad, you know, trying to, of course, Tina Kotek in re-election year coming out with her prosperity roadmap that she is going to create for us. And I'm just sitting here going, but we're stuck in a doom loop and nothing she proposes is looking at bringing us out of these things.
No, nope, nope. And then also Oregon is a top food stamp state. Percentage of the population is over 16% of the population. New Mexico is high on that list. Louisiana, Oklahoma are the top four.
Yep. And then, of course, DHS arrests Antifa-aligned left-wing violent extremists. We are one of those top five states in that happening. And most of it is right there at the Portland Ice Processing Center, where they pointed out on this map where Los Angeles gets its, you know, as a whole. Yeah, you know, we have one location and we're still right up there. Come on. Way to go, Oregon.
Right. And of course, Portland really is kind of ground zero for all of this, and it's not abating. And I know when the residents that were living in that apartment complex tried to, you know, get the city of Portland to do anything, it's like they're breaking their noise ordinances and it got thrown out. I think that's going to ramp up in 2026 as well.
Well, you brought that up because I'm sitting here. I was watching the news this morning and they said, if you're thinking of lighting off fireworks in Portland, don't do it because there's the ban. And I'm going, wait, don't they just light those off and shoot them at the ice building on a regular basis?
Right. So is it okay for them and not for us? Okay. See, that's how that works.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No celebrating with fireworks, only violence. Come on.
And you know, people are going to go,
oh,
there. Whatever.
I figure at the stroke of 12 tonight, I'll have a moment or two to step outside and see some fireworks flying.
I don't think we got any fireworks. We were talking about it, but we didn't get any. We have in the past. Yeah. Well, it's not too late.
That's right.
Only 12:26.
That's right.
All right, the next one. Oregon liberals versus Oregon conservatives. Yeah. Immigration protest 2019, riots, George Floyd riots, Red House eviction riots, Columbus Day riots, election night riots. You know, you get the trend there.
Mayday, Kyle Rittenhouse, Dobbs. Yeah, just everything. Whatever it is, it's a riot.
A Jewish comedian visits Portland in 2024. Riots, Tesla protests, which Salem got hit with, and ICE protest riots. You head over to the conservatives. Charlie Kirk assassination. Four prayer vigils.
Yeah.
We are not the same.
No, and I'm sitting here going, and how many of those prayer vigils were interrupted by potential rioters?
Yeah. I think all of them.
Yeah, and of course, projected congressional seats gains and losses in 2030. Texas and Florida, Utah, Idaho, North Carolina, and Arizona all projected to add seats, where California, New York, Oregon, and Minnesota are looking at losses.
I wonder why. What's the common denominator in all of these states? It's interesting. Most of the people that are moving into the states that are gaining are coming from the states that are losing.
That makes a lot of sense.
People aren't having it. It's expensive. It's crime-ridden. Any problem that happens in any of these blue states, they just throw more money at it and then shame you for noticing that it doesn't work.
Maybe it's people running from the riots. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Oh, and then this one's really bad. This is births versus deaths. Idaho. Idaho has more. Washington and California do. Oregon has more deaths than births. This is demographics. You cannot fight the demographics. Well, you've got more people either leaving or not being born, or they're dying. And it's like the tax orgy in this state is not sustainable.
Well, and I just sit here and go, but it makes a lot of sense when you talk about Oregon, because Oregon has made itself a destination state for death. You know, you can die with dignity in this state. Yeah. You can have abortions at will in this state, and you can just get your drugs and overdose yourself whenever you want in the state of Oregon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really rather depressing.
State gas prices, of course. Again, we are number 4 in the nation to wrap up the list.
crazy. They got it at 3. When was this? What's the date on this? They got it at 391. I think when I was. Yeah. I think that's about right. 450 being the highest.
Well, you can find at some of the local gas stations, you know, as much as we're anti-Trumping the state of Oregon in every turn.
Right.
They seem to hit this roadblock with the gas prices, because I was able to fill out at some of these lesser priced gas stations for $2.99.
But is it garbage gas?
It's slightly better than garbage gas, I like to think, at least pretend. I wouldn't put it in an older car, but a newer car that's designed for the garbage gas, I guess you can get away with it. But yeah, so you're looking at it right around $3.30. I think this list is probably just old enough that we've had a decrease in the gas prices in Oregon, despite Tina Kotek's best efforts.
Yeah. So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here. We'll come back and talk about some nominees for 2025 tax awards. We got to talk about the city of Salem going massively nationally viral for all the wrong reasons again.
Well, maybe we can even talk about big things that are coming in 2026.
Oh, I think there's going to be some big ones.
There's some big stuff. I know that you and I have a couple of things in common that will occur in the new year. So
I got some
good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we are coming up. There's that music. There it is. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Greenacres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, so it is New Year's Eve. 2025 is coming to a close. You know, as much as it seems kind of like it was a blur, there was some cool stuff that happened. I mean, the Mustache and I celebrated 35-year wedding anniversary. We had an amazing cruise to Alaska in the summer, late summer, and that was very, very cool. I mean, so there was fun stuff, and I've done some other trips and seen a lot of friends, and so it's been kind of cool. We had a lot of really great guests on the show. Mm-hmm. A lot of national guests. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in 2026.
I think so. And that's the thing, is we need the national guests, especially, you know, the ones from Florida and mm-hmm. other free states, to come and let us know that the grass is greener somewhere.
Take a trip, you guys. Cross some state lines. It's not as, you know, doomery as it is in Oregon. So 2026 has got big stuff coming up. Lots of big stuff in 2026.
Yeah, we've got, of course, you know, let's even just say it right now. Here locally, starting tomorrow, the Oregon Ducks play, you know, in the road to the national championship. They've got Texas Tech tomorrow morning. Tailgater show. Jeff and crew are on at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning because.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because,
are they really?
Yep. They're on at 6 a.m. They got to wake up early, so they don't get to stay out late tonight. I'll tell you what.
No hearty partying for them.
No, they'll have to wait and hearty party tomorrow, I suppose, because they've got the Tailgater show at 6 a.m., Duck pregame at 7, and of course, kickoff at about 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for those Ducks.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got some of our regular guests, like you said, national guest Jeff Reynolds joins us from Restoration News. We'll be continuing that into the new year twice a month. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're continuing with our real estate insights twice a month. We get great guests. Bill O'Reilly, I'm sure, is going to come out with another book this year. So we'll have Bill on to talk mm-hmm. about it. Love that. So lots of cool stuff. I've got a big trip to Cape Cod coming up with my mom and my sisters. I used to spend my summers in Cape Cod. And so we're going back to the cabins that we used to stay in when we were little kids. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that.
Well, and I've gotten some save the dates from a couple of extended family members for weddings coming up this summer.
Oh.
You know, both June and July, I believe, a wedding in each month that we will get to go and attend. And of course, come springtime, I've gotten the news that I will be a grandparent.
Yes.
In the spring.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So there's lots going on. Lots of stuff to look forward to. Lots of blessings to be counted.
Yes. And that's the thing is as much doom and gloom as we can talk about on this show when it comes to the state of Oregon and the state of the economy here and everything else, we always got to concentrate on those God-given gifts and look towards the bright stuff and really find those things to celebrate, especially on a day. I mean, we did it a week ago for Christmas, and now we're going to do it again for the new year and looking forward rather than backwards.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. I've got a lot of that same stuff coming my way too. And so we're very excited about it. All right. So, yes, well, today obviously is the 31st. And so it is National Farewell Day. And of course, shock of all shocks, it's National Champagne Day. I don't think I may have a bottle of Prosecco in my pantry. I'm not much of a champagne person, only because when I was much, much, much younger, I was at a open house for something and all the food was liver pate and champagne. I don't like liver pate. Mm-hmm. And every time I would turn around, my champagne glass was full. Champagne and I are, we kind of look at each other like, I don't know.
Yeah, we've got a little champagne and, of course, apple cider, sparkling apple cider for kids. Because, you know, you go out and do that pre-Christmas shopping where you're like, well, we might like mimosas and cider on Christmas morning. So we did that. But have a couple of bottles left over because, darn it, you got to buy them in those pre-Christmas prices.
Exactly. It's also Make Up Your Mind Day. Okay. I don't know. That's kind of weird. And No Interruptions Day. So
We get plenty
of interruptions. Who makes these things up?
I don't know.
I wonder, what are they going to do for 2026? They're definitely going to be weird.
It's probably some bureaucratic panel that, you know, decides on these things. Come on.
I know, right? There's a blue ribbon panel to decide these things. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit. I can't believe how, we talked about this on Monday. Mm-hmm. The Salem City Council, Salem Business Journal has an article out about it. But you know what? So does The Blaze. So does Town Hall. So does Red State.
So does Not the Bee.
TikTok. So does Not the Bee. I mean, it has gone viral. This is one of the most boneheaded things I've ever seen. The headline for the Salem Business Journal, Salem City Council reappoints convicted murderer Kyle Hedquist to Police Review Board as backlash grows. You can read the story. The counselors that voted for this are counselors Linda Nishioka, Vanessa Nordyke, Mickey Varney, Irvin Brown, and Mai Vang. They voted yes. Mayor Julie Hoyan, counselors Paul Tigan, I don't know how you say that, Shane Matthews and Deanna Gwynn voted no. And Nordyke has come back with, I don't know, I'm getting some backlash here, saying she wanted some broader context or something. It's like you've had a long time to do this due diligence.
Well,
here.
I sit here and I go, you represent a section of this city. And your job as a representative of your ward is to understand what your constituents would want and do your best to support them and vote in things that benefit your constituents. So I sit here and go, the fact that you voted for this and now you're backpedaling and wishy-washy and, you know, ooh, I don't know. I'm going, then you didn't do your due diligence in making sure your constituents would approve of something like this.
Well, and I remember when Governor Brown back in 2022 commuted this guy's sentence. Mm-hmm. I mean, Marion County DK came out about it, Marion County DA rather, Marion County Sheriff. A lot of people were like, whoa, 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 whoa. And again, we're not talking like a traffic violation or shoplifting. We're talking murder.
Well, we're not talking about, let's go to the simplest one, marijuana violations. I can understand once the state legalized marijuana, I can understand commuting sentences for pot distribution or drug deals or whatever else. But something like this, and especially for, if I'm remembering right at the time, they didn't even, you know, reach out to the victim's families and let them know this was even happening.
It was scandalous when Brown did this in 2022. And no, they didn't. And the mom, I think, was very blindsided. And so now you've got the city of Salem. They're debating whether he should have a seat on a board, which is designed to build public trust and police accountability. And I'm seeing so many people being apologists for this. It's ridiculous. People have just lost their moral compass.
Well, I sit here.
It's crazy.
Well, I'm just sitting here going, I mean, that's the thing is, how are you building public trust by having a convicted murderer be kind of the face of the oversight boards for the police department? Doesn't make any sense. But here in Oregon, I sit here and understand because guess what? Those noisy, loud, obnoxious voices that take over every meeting they step into and will harass anyone that opposes, you know, their nut job mentality. And I'm going, this is what they want. They want to further erode confidence in the police, and these kinds of things will help them do that.
And it's really unfortunate. There have been, you know, a number of black eyes, and I think Councillor Nishioka has been kind of behind a lot of them. The two meetings that were devoted to reaffirming a resolution that had been there, and then again, these I think all but Irvin Brown are up for re-election, and all of them have candidates that I would encourage you to go look. Candidates running against them. These people need to be voted out. Period.
Yeah.
They have no business holding public office. None.
Well, we need to stop with the short-sightedness of how things go and say, wait, you did this. You literally tried to pass a payroll tax on the city of Salem.
Yep.
You tried to do I mean, all these things. And I sit here and go, but then come election day, no one remembers those things. And I go, that should happen at the local level. It needs to happen at the state level, because in the county level, every which way, because there's a laundry list of things that people have done that are literally against the desires of the mass group of Oregonians. And yet they're likely, I mean, let's start at the very top with Gina Kotek, likely to be reelected in this state.
But you've got so much voter apathy, you know, especially on the Republican side. Then, I mean, granted, it is a numbers game, but you've got that. And then, of course, with the city of Salem, these council seats, the election happening in the May primary when there's really low turnout. So I'm hoping there are a lot of organizations. Marion Polk first comes to mind. I know Marion County GOP has been working together with them, and there are a number of others that do a good job of educating and informing people about this. But this is critical, and especially when you've got Councillor Nordyke also running for mayor. I think that this shows a severe lack of judgment, as far as I'm concerned, and should disqualify this individual.
Yeah, and I kind of go, you know, Marion Polk first and the GOP, they need to really be putting out the information of this is where we would be if these people got their payroll tax and their gas tax in these policies and these things that they want. And I'm going, there's your talking points right there and there.
Exactly. And you're right. And because it's getting national attention, when you read the comments and everyone, all you hear is, well, it's Oregon. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's Oregon. What do you expect? What do you expect? And the bottom line is it's Portland, Salem, and Eugene. The rest of the state gets to have, you know, okay, thanks for embarrassing us again.
Well,
thanks a lot.
It's why at a national level, it's when you sit here and you go over to the East Coast, I mean, you're going to go over there this summer, say, I'm from Oregon, and they're literally the only thing in people's minds is Portland. There is no Eastern Oregon. There is no farm country. There is no Central Oregon in their brains.
And of course, this is radio, so you can't see. It's like this face that's like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Right. You're from Oregon. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like somebody from Minnesota coming here and saying, I'm from Minnesota. Well, you're from Minneapolis, obviously.
Oh,
sorry about you. You know, did you get a cut of that?
So this stuff is just ridiculous. And again, these people, they're like I said, all of them, but I think Irvin Brown got in, was elected the last cycle.
Yeah.
I don't know if Varney in Ward 8 is running, but I know they all have challengers. And again, of course, Mayor Hoy is running for re-election as well. So yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
so ridiculous.
Let's as a populace hold these people accountable, since there doesn't seem to be another way of doing it.
Right. Exactly. So get out and vote. The election is in May. All right. Let's take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This final segment of 2025 is brought to you by Home Comfort, the Perlin Mill, and Cozy's New York Deli.
All right. Ooh, I know you can get little sandwiches at Cozy's. You might, I don't know how late they're open till, but you could get a sandwich tray for New Year's.
Well, if I was having friends over and we were going to have a little shindig, I probably would. But now that it looks like it's just going to be the family, you know, Top Ramen might be there.
There you go.
No, I'm all about the finger foods.
Yeah. Oh, you know. Yeah. I think one of my sisters is doing like a poker party for the neighbors, and they're doing pulled pork sliders, and everybody lives there, so they're going to walk home. I wouldn't want to be out driving and with the Yahoos. Okay. Well, some good news also for 2025, the Herculean effort, the gas tax referendum officially qualifies for the ballot. This is an Oregon Catalyst story out of yesterday. Representative Ed Deal, who we've had on many times to talk about that, Senator Bruce Starr, and also Jason Williams of the Taxpayer Association. What did they get? They got a quarter of a million. They needed, what, 70 grand?
Yep.
They got a quarter of a million. People are pissed.
Well, now we just need those piss people to vote, to hold the people that did it accountable when they vote against it. Let's put it that way. Because
exactly.
I think this is going to fail. I mean, it's not going to be on the November ballot. It is going to fail miserably. What worries me is all the people that are going to vote no on this and then vote yes on Tina.
Crazy. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the short session starts in February. I think we should put a pin in this. The Democrats are going to try to put some malarkey in there, maybe try to move it to May, move it around, make it just all the way around difficult for people to figure out when and where to vote. I don't know. The error rate for early return, for the early return turn-in signatures, it was, they were submitted on the 15th of December of 193, showed an impressive 85% validity rate. So they're well over. 55% of the errors were due to circulators correcting their date mistake by writing in the correct date. You got to be really kind of meticulous on these things.
Yeah, I would assume what we might see out of the session come February is a very watered down version that, you know, maybe not necessarily a gas tax, but some of, you know, increases in some of the DMV fees and this and that. And that way they can kind of go, well, look at how well this worked. You know,
I think there will be shenanigans afoot. Oh, I have no doubt about that. That's the Democrat way of life, shenanigans. I think we're seeing it.
You think that might be the phrase of the year for 2026?
Shenanigans. Then you got to say it that way. Shenanigans. Makes it even more shenanigan-y. So anyway, again, congratulations to Chief Petitioner, State Senator Bruce Starr, State Representative Ed Deal, Jason Williams. Also, some other individuals. Jody Fleck was a petition coordinator, John Swanson, a team leader, and Nick Stark. All of these people did yeoman's work. They were out there busting their butts to get this done. All the people that signed it. I mean, it really, it shows the momentum. And again, it was a very truncated timeline because the governor was playing around and farting around on getting things done and slowing, you know, slow walking it all. So This is a good thing.
Well, because she had to. I mean, they got a quarter of a million in, what, 30 days? Imagine if they had 90 days. It could have been three quarters of a million. Come on.
And that sends a really, really powerful message. It really does. It really, really does. So kudos to everyone. But I'm betting on shenanigans.
I am going to be right there with you. I will play that game because I expect there's going to be something.
Yeah, well, you can have that on your bingo card, pretty much guaranteed, Democrat shenanigans. Okay, well, let's switch over to the Babylon Bee. I love the Babylon Bee. I heart the Babylon Bee so much.
It is very entertaining. If you have not had a chance to check them out, go do that, because there are some great little video clips and stories and lists, which we love to spread around.
And I don't think this one was from, I think it was 2024, but of course, Oliver, Kamala's speech writer, was my all-time favorite. If you haven't seen that video, stop what you're doing. Well, wait for us to be over and then go look it up.
Yeah. At 1 o'clock, you can go look it up.
Yes. You will, like me, when things are too cute, you bite your finger. Oliver is adorable. Okay. The Babylon Bee announces its Persons of the Year awards for 2025. Oh my gosh. Why don't you start us off?
I'll start off with the straight person of the year. That honor goes to the one and only Tim Walz, and easily the number one hetero in the country.
The healthy person of the year, Ariana Grande, the absolute picture of health and wellness. That whole thing with Wicked and Cynthia Erivo. Oh, my Lord, these girls.
All right. Well, the person with the best genes is Bill Thompson of Ames, Iowa. Sorry, Sydney. Bill's got you beat.
Oh, Bill. Wow. Plucked out of obscurity from Ames. Awesome. What an honor. The not dead person of the year. Well, Joe Biden. Way to go, Joe.
The sane, rational person of the year goes to Candace Owens. Very well deserved.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Skinny person of the year. Your mom. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's, you know, the jokes are usually the other way around.
I know.
The sober person of the year goes to Kamala Harris, the spitting image of sobriety.
The ultimate wine mom. The chaste person of the year. Well, this one seems no-brainer. Bill Clinton. You did it, Bill.
And the principal person of the year, Chip and Joanna Gaines. No compromising the values here.
Remember when that was crazy? That was in 2025. Wow. The fly ball catcher of the year, Aaron Judge. 2 years in a row. I have to say, I don't know who the hell Aaron Judge is.
That's a baseball reference. He's the New York Yankees MVP.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Normal looking person of the year, Ed Sheeran. Just look how normal he appears.
Isn't he a ginger? He's a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
The manliest person of the year, Justin Trudeau. When we think testosterone, we think Justin.
The athlete of the year, talking about sports, the WNBA player who made a layup. Great job. What's her name?
Yeah, never watched an NBA or a WNBA game. This one, oh my gosh. Sexiest man of the year, Tom Homan. Tom freaking Homan. Yeah.
All right. Sexiest woman of the year, our wives. Love you, honey.
That's good answer. Mm-hmm. Good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer. United Methodist Pastor of the Year, Satan, the Lord of Darkness, does it again.
The American Citizen of the Year, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. No one captures the American spirit better.
That Maryland dad. Mm-hmm. Christian Person of the Year, Donald J. Trump. Congratulations to the president on his 9th consecutive selection. He says, cherish these awards, friends. We'll see you in 2026.
You know what?
Babylon Bee, man.
I want to see them get this group together for an awards picture. I think just seeing a picture of all these award winners together on stage at the same time, I mean, it would be bigger than a Taylor Swift concert at this point.
Yeah, that's a pretty good list. And, you know, speaking of that, it is going to be interesting to see what comes out with all the scandals that really started brewing and coming to light in 2025. What goes on, of course, the Epstein files, which were notoriously mishandled back in February with the influencers. Is Pam Bondi going to, you know, are we going to have any arrests? Are we going to have any indictments? In, you know, Minnesota, this fraud, I mean, everything you're seeing really is the tip of the iceberg. Are we going to see more? Are we going to see more exposés?
Well, we've been saying this for what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, is we need to see the perp walks. The people that are causing, that are part of these scandals, that are defrauding the American people, that literally gave us the censorship and misinformation and the torture that we went through in 2020. When do we get to see these people perp walk? When do we see the people that, you know, go into an elected office at $45,000 in net worth and come out at $4.8 million with a, you know, a portfolio that rivals the best investment bankers in the world? I'm kind of going, when do we see people held accountable for these things?
Yeah, and I really want to see people really start not voting with the letter and voting and really looking at the candidates. I know in a lot of red states, really the R means research, because then you'll get a lot of Democrats that run in and run as R's in Oregon, unfortunately. It's really hard for Republicans to make headway. But I want to see a lot more courage from our politicians, a lot more truth, speaking truth. I really want to see that. I want to see that just all the way around. We have to be able to name the problem and speak about it truthfully if we have any hope of solving it. The stakes are very, very high in 2026.
Yeah, and I would love to see people that aren't concerned the day they're elected at re-election. I want to see you willing to go out there and do the right things, even if it's not popular with the woke, loud, obnoxious mob. Go out and do those things, make a difference. And it will lead to itself, the re-election part. Too many of our politicians, it's like once they get in, all their thought is, how do I not cause any waste so I can be re-elected again? I don't want that person elected.
No, I don't either. And another, these people, again, Ron Wyden is running and he's been in office, you know, since the prehistoric times. So,
well, since what? You know, the 200th anniversary of the United States.
Right,
you
know what right. I mean? Well, that's our wish list. That's our wish list. That's Bring back servant leadership. Yay.
Yeah, that's our New Year's resolution. Let's do that.
Well,
if only we could influence that heavily.
I know. Well, we'll keep doing what we do next year. Everybody have a wonderful New Year's Eve. Stay safe. We'll see you next year.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.